5, verse 22, we're going to get used to this and have it memorized before too long, if you haven't already. But the fruit of the Spirit. And I always like to highlight the word fruit because it's not a plural word. It's one fruit. And I always enjoyed those moments of conversation when somebody would say, I don't have the gift of peace, or I don't have the gift of patience. I'm sorry, it's not a gift. This is part of what you produce as a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's fruit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. You're dead. You're already dead. Isn't that great? You know, I made a reference to this at one time, and I used the term dead man walking. I was doing a young adult class at the time. One of the young adults decided because I said the phrase dead man walking, they'd rent the movie. I don't know if you've seen it. I haven't. They told me don't. It's not a good movie, they said. And it's about this guy that's in prison and he's going to be executed. And dead man walking is from your cell to the execution table. And I use that phrase purposely because basically that's how I feel. I'm a dead man walking. I've crucified my sinful nature, and it's Christ who lives in me, right? And they went out and rented the movie, and they said, oh, Pastor, that was a horrible movie. I said, I didn't tell you to rent the movie. So I'm just telling you, don't rent the movie. I can say that emphatically. Sorry. You've crucified the sinful nature. You're dead man walking in a sense, right? Okay, let's get back on track. Where are we at? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And like I said before, that's not always easy. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Well, today we have the privilege to talk about something that is not going to shake us to the core, make us tremble with oh my's, although maybe it will. We're going to talk about joy. Joy. Joy is cool. I like joy. Joy is fun. Right? There are joys in this life that all people experience. I believe this. There's those celebration moments. I think anyone that's a human being can have this kind of joy, where you celebrate, let's say it's a birth of a child. There's something quite special about that, and you have a sense of joy. There may be that sense of joy when there's a wedding. Anybody agree to that? There's some contemplation going on, some considerations. Yesterday, the ladies talked about marriage and about how they met, and they showed pictures of weddings, and I guess that was a good time. And I don't know what Tina shared, but don't believe half of it. No, I'm just kidding. I was really excited to get to know Tina, and I wanted to date her, actually. And so I started hanging out with Tina, but her sister was a lot more outgoing at the time, and so I would play ping pong with her sister while I'm flirting with Tina. It was a process. It was a process. You might be celebrating an anniversary. We have an anniversary coming up. 27 years. Woohoo! I know I don't look that old. My hair says otherwise, but I don't really look that old, right? I'm getting a little thin on top. How about achievements? Graduating with honors. I wish I could say I did that. That would be cool. I would have had a lot of joy for that. But I did graduate, so there's some joy there. How many cried at their high school graduation? Anybody? How many couldn't even halfway consider crying? You're so happy just to get out of there. I'm like, I'm going. I'm never coming back. Hallelujah. My old principal, who sells insurance in Montana, stopped by. And he came in to visit me one day when I was at the house. And I think it was my day off or something. But that was kind of cool. Mr. Erickson. So yeah, you might be celebrating with some joy when you graduate, reaching some kind of a goal. How about bagging a trophy of some kind, whether it's a fish or a deer or something else? You know, I think guys and gals can appreciate that. My daughter Ashley loves to fish. She likes to catch those northerns. And after a while, you know, there's only so many you want to keep because they're a lot of work to clean, get all the bones out. And then when they ruin my favorite lure, they make me mad. So my daughter Ashley, she loves catching those big fish, but she laughed at me when I threw one. I think I threw it 30 yards. I mean, it was like, whoa, I was so mad. He wrecked my favorite lure. I wasn't experiencing joy, but she was. She was giggling, trying not to get me madder. How about special moments that simply put a smile on your face when you're having fun? It just goes right. One could argue that life can bring joy for even the non-believer, but it is different than the fruit of the Spirit. It is not the same thing. Don't confuse the two. True joy can only come through the work of the Holy Spirit. Joy is an attribute of God's character in you. You will have a joy that the world cannot have. They don't get it. They don't see it. They don't feel it. They don't understand it. You can have this joy because it's part of God's Spirit who is in you. It's not a feeling. We sometimes get that confused with happiness. Happiness is a word that's connected to the word happenstance, which is directly related to circumstance. Joy is unrelated to your surroundings. It's a sense of delight that rises in you because of God's favor. Joy is one of the most obvious signs of a true experience with God. People will see joy in you and get that there's something different here. There's something not the same. They can understand when you catch a big walleye or when you have a shopping experience that you just want to share. I don't know what I'm trying. I'm trying to relate, ladies. Help me out. Something that brings you joy in this world. It's like, oh, that was awesome. Oh, I know. When you bake something that's so scrumptious and delicious that everybody raves about it, I would imagine that would bring your heart some joy, right? The world gets that. But they don't understand how you can have joy when the circumstances aren't right. There's something different here. This joy from God exists in each of us through all circumstances that life can bring. Just for fun, there's a couple grandma stories here. One day, two little boys were playing, and one asked the other, "Wouldn't you hate to wear glasses all the time?" The other little boy responds, "No. Not if I had the kind grandma wears. She sees how to fix a lot of things. She sees lots of nice things to do on rainy days. She sees when folks are tired and sorry and what will make them feel better. And she always sees what you meant to do, even if you haven't gotten it just right." I asked her one day how she could see that way all the time. And she said it was the way she had learned to look at things as she grew older. It must be her glasses. Well, there's another grandma story. Little girl asked her grandmother how she felt. She said she felt fine. The little girl asked, "Well, if you feel good, why don't you tell your face?" Isn't that great? I love that one. That's fun. Tell your face. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. There's three types of joy we're going to talk about. This first one is the joy in salvation. There's some short stories here called parables that we just want to highlight real quickly. Luke 15, verse 3 through 7. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So let that be a lesson on joy. There is joy in salvation. One of the greatest joys a church can ever experience is when someone comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some good joys that come at church, but there's nothing greater than someone getting saved. That they would repent and say, "I want Jesus to be my Lord, my God, my King. I want his love in my life. I will serve him all the days of my life." That is something that brings true joy. And if you know the Lord personally, then you know that joy as well. You know the joy that comes through the Holy Spirit as you are serving him with your whole heart. And so that's a great illustration that Jesus would say, "Leave the 99 for the one and rejoice when he's found." Now, recognize that the 99 are safe. It's not like he's leaving them out to dry and they're in trouble, but they're safely at home in fenced-in area, corral, whatever you want to say. But that one lost soul brings great joy. If you look at the next parable, it says, "Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.'" I find it interesting in both scenarios. It's not enough to celebrate the joy all by yourself. You got to share it with someone else. You call your friends, your neighbors, your buddies, your pals, your girlfriends, whatever you want to say. You call them up and say, "Hey, I found what was lost. The sheep, the coin." If you go back into the areas where this was written, you'll notice that the floors were not like our floors. And there's many crevices. Oftentimes it'd be like a cobblestone floor, rocks with crevices all around, and you'd have to really sweep to find things just to bear them out. Or it was simply a dirt floor. I don't know how much dirt you want to sweep around, but you start sweeping dirt, you're going to find some stuff. And of course, this lady found her coin. Rejoice. I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. If you look at the parable of the lost son, we're not going to read it all, but we are going to highlight verse 22 through verse 24. You know that there is two sons. They have an inheritance coming. The younger one says, "I want my inheritance now. Give it all. Give everything I got. I want to go and spend my money as I see fit." And there's a whole big story about why that was terrible for the father to hear. But ultimately, he takes his possessions that he was given and he goes out, spends it, squanders it away. He finds himself starving, but he comes back home thinking, "Well, maybe I can at least be a slave. Maybe Dad will let me hang out with the servants and I can serve him in that manner. At least I won't die of starvation." And that's not the reaction he gets. Verse 22. "The father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." There is a celebration of joy when one who wandered away returned. Hallelujah. May that be a lesson for us in joy, to remember the joy of the Lord in your own salvation. But let's take it above and beyond that and recognize that there is joy in serving the Lord in such a way that the lost are saved. Amen? It's not just about us. I mean, look around. You're a great bunch of people, right? But you're not all there is. There's more. There's some sheep out there that are in danger. What are we going to do to see that they're found? Will we pick up the broom and work hard and sweep that place out clean as we can to find that one lost coin? Will we sacrifice to see that it's done and celebrate the same joy as God celebrates? Even the angels rejoice. That's interesting. They actually don't always understand what's going on this earth. The Bible tells us that they longed to look into it, this thing, this mystery of salvation. It's like they were kind of in the dark. They did their jobs. They were doing what they were called to do. But ultimately, they were like, what is this really going to be? What's this look like? What's God doing becoming flesh? Can you imagine being an angel and seeing this all play out? I can't. It's just unfathomable. It's beyond me. But they rejoice when one soul is saved, and that's pretty cool. Turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 13. This is more personal for you to rejoice in, to find that sense of joy for your own life. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy for the believer. The world cannot take that from you. I had an interesting week. I spent my entire day off working on a thermostat on a 1994 Dodge Dakota. It was overheating, and so I thought, well, thermostat's a quick fix. Thermostat cost me like $12. The little gasket, probably another $5. So I go on my little project and I get things pulled apart. And as I'm taking the thermostat out, I hear a snap. Uh-oh. How many know that's not a good sound? And so I go, well, I can fix this. The bolt broke off flush with the top of that intake manifold. Not good. There's nothing to grab. Well, I got one of those easy out things, right? So no problem. I'll drill that baby out. So I drill it out. Zzz, I get that drill going. I don't have the greatest drill bits in the world, but I finally found one that works. So I'm drilling away. Okay, that's good enough right there. So I put in my easy out and I'm snap. How many know that's 10 times worse than the first snap? Yeah. I'm like, boy, this is a great day. Hallelujah, praise God, I'm so happy. I guarantee I was not happy. Not even close to being happy. So I thought, well, I got to do something. Long story short, the end of the day, I finally drilled another hole, decided to use a sheet metal kind of bolt to try and clamp it down and make it work. And I got it all back together, which you got to put everything back together. Serpentine belt, the whole works. Fire that baby up. Room, it starts just as pure and clean as can be and leaking all over. Not a good day. Can you find joy on a day like that? It's not very easy. Thank you. I sat down at the dinner table or supper table, as we would call it, and Tina made this great meal, and I'm sitting there, and I'm wondering what she's thinking finally, because I'm just like, I mean, I didn't say a word. I just sat there, and she's looking at me, and she's getting to know me a little bit. You know, it's 27 years. And she was awesome, by the way. She didn't pry. She didn't get into it. She kind of let me simmer in my whatever. And so I finally did finish the project yesterday. I did it right. I got a new hole tapped out, and hopefully it's going to hold. I'm letting everything cure, make sure it's good, and we'll find out this afternoon or tonight. Pray for that pour to pick up, please. I did find a used exhaust intake manifold for $50 on eBay if I have to buy one. But that's a lot of work. I don't want to have to do all that. All you mechanic guys, you're like, amen, amen, right? Why do I share that story? It's real. It's real. And it's not easy to find joy when your whole flesh wants to scream. And I have to wonder, what would happen if at that moment when everything is absolutely horribly wrong, someone needs ministering to? What would happen? Well, my hope is that I would get out of myself, kill that Kevin down one more time, and just say it's just a cheap old junk pickup anyway, get over it, move on, and love that person that needs to be ministered to. And do it with a smile, not because of happiness, because happiness is not real. It's so circumstantial, it goes up and it goes down. But a deep-seated joy in the Lord that is your strength when it comes to faith. The next morning was so much better as I let go and let God. And it may end up not being good in any way. May have to replace the whole part. Oh well. There is joy in serving the Lord. There is joy in salvation. It's more than circumstance. If the things around you ruin your life, then there's something wrong in your spirit. Why can you have joy? Because the fruit of the Spirit comes to those who believe, and it is a product of who you are. It's a product of the tree you have become. You have crucified the sinful nature and all that it is. And you are now living through the Spirit of God, and you're keeping in step with the Spirit of God. And you have a joy that's not going to be affected by circumstance. And the world looks at that and they say, what in the world is going on here? And prayerfully, they are going to see the love of God through the joy of your spirit. There is joy in serving as well. 1 John chapter 1. Joy in serving. I'll tell the story someday about how I swept out a Quonset for my dad. Maybe I told it once already. I don't know. I've told it many times. Let's just say it was a long day. But I found a joy when I finally did it right. There's a joy in serving. 1 John 1, verse 2 through 4. This is from a perspective of the writer. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was the Father, was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. From the perspective of the apostle, from the perspective of the writer of the letter that's been given, from the perspective of one who has sacrificed and gone through agonizing difficulties, is able to say that this writing of mine for your benefit brings me joy. I find joy in expressing God's truth to you. Do you find joy in ministering for the Lord? Absolutely. It's almost unfair. Because the more you give, the more joy there is to receive. And when you begin to see that through your life, you begin to understand why it's such a powerful thing. Will you find joy in serving? Yes, you will. But you once again go back to the fruit of the Spirit and the expression that says, you have crucified the sinful nature. You have many reasons for why you can't, but that's all related to the flesh. I would implore you to consider the joy in serving. It's real, it's powerful, and it's wonderful. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Another letter or book or gospel is a better word for it. John chapter 15. Most of you probably know this passage very well. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now you might be wondering, why are we talking about love? Well, they're related. Love and joy are very closely related. Verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Do you love the Lord? Well, you will obey if you do. We talked about love already. We referred to this passage. But we didn't cover the benefits of the love that you've expressed by obeying God's commands. Joy. There is a joy that comes in serving God that cannot be mimicked, it cannot be faked. It is very, very real, and it is so beneficial. There is joy in loving God, in obeying his commands, in serving him. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Verse 49 through 52. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standard and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barabbas and expelled them from their region. Well, that doesn't sound like much fun, does it? I mean, they're serving the Lord. They're sharing the gospel. They're trying to reach the lost. They're going to the Jews and then they're going to the Gentiles. I mean, what is this? Verse 51, so they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium, and this is the clincher, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you talk about a bad day serving God where nobody listens. They get a party all set up, almost like a posse from the Wild Wild West, and they chase you out of town. And you shake the dust off your sandals saying, let it be as you want it to be, I'm gone. And then you get filled with joy? I mean, does that even make any sense at all? Not really. Not really. But because of the power of God in your life, in serving him, they found joy through the Holy Spirit. Even when it doesn't work, you can find joy in God. We are going to have ministries of this church, and you've had some in the past, that absolutely flatline pancake, didn't work, went poof, didn't happen. I want to encourage you. You can find joy in that. You can have joy in the experience of serving God even when it doesn't go as well as you'd hoped. Now, granted, we all want to see things go well, right? Amen? And so we hope for a better day, which I'm sure they did as well. But even when things don't go as smooth as you want it to go, I mean, there are days where everything just goes wrong. Kind of like that Dodge Dakota over there. Oh, well, there's a joy in serving God. Now, this verse I read is connected to the next point. There is joy in suffering. Now, that just sounds wrong. I mean, really? That's a tough one. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look there real quickly. This is our example of joy in suffering. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. I want to say this, the joy that was set before the Lord was you. You are the joy that was set before him. Knowing the end result of the sacrifice, knowing the end result of the suffering, the death, which would then come to the resurrection, knowing that the relationship that had been broken will be mended, will be repaired, will be healed, knowing that he can have a personal relationship with you, the joy that was set before him, you were enough to keep him moving forward, and he endured the cross. He is our example of joy in suffering. First Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Do you see the word joy there? The suffering was true, the suffering was real, and yet there was a joy that comes through the Spirit of God. They found joy in the suffering. And because of the joy that they had in the Holy Spirit, they became a model of what it is to be a Christian, a model of a believer, and the whole region was affected by it. Imagine that. That their joy would influence so many. That their faith would change the world around them. In James chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, verse 2 through 4, he expresses the same joy in trials and testings. In verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy. Now, this is one of those places where it has an extra word in front of the word joy so we don't misunderstand it. So we don't see it as a worldly joy. This is pure joy. This is spirit joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy when you face trials. There is joy in suffering. And the last passage I want to read in closing is probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest scriptures of all time when it comes to joy. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice. That's the word joy with a different expression. You greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The suffering and the circumstances do not matter when you have the goal of your faith being realized. You find joy even in the suffering that the world can give. It's a God thing. You are a fruit-bearing tree. One of the characteristics of God who is in you is joy. In some ways, the thought or the expression is, I don't have a right to have a bad day. If I rely on the Spirit of God, even when things go wrong, I can still express joy. It's hard. I got to crucify the flesh. Jesus told me I have to take up my cross at least once a week. Come on.
Daily.
Every day? Well, what about Mondays? How about Fridays? Every day, Lord, every single day? Yeah, every day. You got to take up the cross daily and follow me. Keep in step with the Spirit. Joy will be expressed in your life, even when you're suffering, even when the world is pressing you down. They're trying to stop the move of God. They're trying to silence the church. They're trying to keep you from sharing your faith. They're trying to make you mad. You can find joy. Because you've crucified the sinful nature, and the Spirit of God who is in you allows you to bear His fruit. Would you stand with me as we close?